Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes. Radio Free Wales. Yes. Croeso to Radio Yes Cymru, and today we've got David Iwan joining us, and it's great to see you, David, and you've had a busy year.
It's been very hectic, yes. I thought I'd retired, but and then a Mawhid happened in the Cardiff Stadium, and life hadn't quite been the same since, because I suppose the publicity given to that singing in the stadium, and I must say it was an experience which I'll never forget. I had my doubts before, you know, whether enough people knew Mawhid, or would they join in, would the Red Wall be interested at all. Well, I mean, they joined in in such a force, it nearly knocked me off the podium, and it was great, and a great experience, because I felt, you know, after 40 years of singing that song, now the nation was singing it back to me, as it were, or singing with me. And it's been a great experience in the sense that I feel that our message for Wales is being grasped by people outside the Welsh-speaking community and outside the nationalist community. And it's become almost mainstream now to talk about independence, because people ask me seriously, you know, I mean, do you really think it could work, David? Well, yes, of course. I mean, it's working all over the world. I remember a time when we used to talk of places like Estonia and said, you know, poor old Estonia under the heavy thumb of Soviet Russia and so on. They haven't got a chance, you know, and they're about the same size as us, and we've got more of a chance of having our own government. But of course, they passed us. They've passed us. They've come out of the Soviet Union. They've joined the European Union, and they've become an independent, sovereign country.
And they're pioneering, you know, lots of these countries are pioneering in a way, because they're experimenting with different systems. And Estonia is the most digitalized society in Europe, isn't it?
That quality, the whole thing about the independence argument is that you can never explain or describe correctly what the effect of independence will be, because the positive effect is so great, it just creates its own dynamic and its own momentum. And these small countries like Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia are showing the way, and leading the way, as you say, and become in sports and everything else. They have a new confidence, and they want to show the world who they are, what they are. We could do that, you know. I mean, that's the whole thing about independence, is that it gives you a new lease of life. And it's nothing to do with size, nothing to do with size. In fact, we have advantages by being a small nation in Wales. And since the Mawhid explosion, if you could call it that, so many people from outside Wales have been in touch with me asking about the singing and the Red Wall and the Welsh feeling in sport. And I say, yes, well, there is an advantage to being a small nation, because you have that community feeling. And it can happen in football. After last night, it's happening again in rugby. And of course, in cultural terms, and even in economic terms, you can talk of a spirit, a community spirit, a Welsh community spirit. And that is what I think would be the great advantages of our independence, you know, that we could find our own voice and our own dynamic.
Yeah, and you know, small is beautiful. And it also gives us an agility that we could change things, you know, rapidly, really, if we decided to, you know, grasp the nettle, as they say, yeah, and start making decisions for ourselves.
Exactly. I mean, I've been involved in business most of my life as well, you know, mostly in the recording industry. And being a small company in the sort of worldwide sense, although in the Welsh context, we're a pretty big company, but being a small recording company gives that agility that you need to adapt to various conditions. And when the digital revolution hit, you know, I mean, so many recording companies in England had to go out of business, and it hit us badly, because suddenly we lost our main source of income, which was by selling CDs or LPs over the counter. And then suddenly it all changed, and Spotify and the rest of it came in to rule the roost. But now we've reduced the size of our company, but you've got to be agile. You've got to be quick on your feet and see new opportunities. And now we're beginning to grow again in the new circumstances. What that could happen to Wales. You can be agile. You can sidestep a few things and adapt. And that's the big thing. I mean, independence is all about keeping Wales Welsh, but keeping Wales modern and in the mainstream of a technological advance.
Did you attend the march on Saturday in Bangor, David?
The Yes Cymru March, yes. I was a bit late because I had a couple of gigs in Cardiff on Thursday and Friday, very well attended in Whitchurch in Cardiff, then I drove up on Saturday, so I was too late for the actual march, but it was great to see so many people there, and what I liked about the Yes Cymru marches is that positive feeling of solidarity and celebration of being Welsh. You know, I mean, we're not there to argue politics or to decide is the left or right policy better. It's there to celebrate our Welshness and to show our Welshness in an open way, and it does recharge the batteries. It probably did Bangor a lot of good, I'm looking forward to the next one. But of course, the important thing is what happens between the marches and between the rallies. And we've all got our work to do in our own local communities, to prepare for the new Wales. And I think the community enterprises at work in Wales today is such an important part of our politics. I mean, buying local pubs and other enterprises, local people putting in a lot of voluntary work, but also running a good community business. You know, I mean, it's going to be a very integral part of the new Wales of the future. Not relying on big factories coming in for 20 or 30 years and then leaving, but doing things ourselves and developing our own indigenous possibilities. And we have plenty of possibilities, and the other good thing emanating from the digital revolution is that so many people now can think really of returning home, coming back to rural Wales, for instance, because they can work from home, and that is perhaps the most optimistic development. Because we've seen so many people going away and taking their skills with them to operate outside Wales. And then suddenly they have a chance, many of them, to come back and operate from Wales and live Wales in Wales and be part of the developing community here.
And also, sorry, yeah. David, but you say about, you know, starting up businesses, but that was part, you know, that, you know, you were campaigning in the 60s and 70s as a language activist and on you know, a better Wales, you know, and a fairer Wales, and with the Welsh Language Society. But, you know, on top of that, you and many others of your generation put your money where your mouth was, as they say, and you started up your own businesses.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of money to put anywhere, but we borrowed £500, for instance, to start the record company. And a good friend of ours, who's now not with us anymore, Brian Morgan Edwards, he gave us £500, gave us the use of his front room in Ninian Road in Cardiff, and a filing cabinet and a phone, and said, I bought you a company off the shelf, and you can be directors and carry on. So we recorded the first single, sold that to pay for the second one, and so on. And now, 58 plus years later, we're still going. At one time, we used to employ over 40 people. Now it's the numbers are less because of the digital revolution. But thank God, Sign is still going. Studio Sign is now run by younger musicians and engineers, and the place is buzzing with new life again. And that was a very important part of our philosophy in the 60s and 70s, and later on. You know, we not only campaigned for changes in the law and to get Welsh on road signs and television and so on. We said, well, let's do things ourselves. If we need more Welsh language bookshops, let's open them. If we need Welsh recording companies, let's start them. And then many people went on to start television companies when S4C started. So that philosophy of doing things yourself is so crucial, and learning new skills and learning from. For so long we've been saying that, the English are much better at us in business. It's not true. But what the English have done, of course, for many, many years is experiment and succeeded and failed and learn from their failures and then carry on. And we are now beginning to do the same thing. We are learning from our mistakes and from our successes, and we are seeing that we can do things better ourselves. And that, translated into the political arena, is independence. You know, we can do it better ourselves.
So, you know, when you were growing up in Bryn Aman, and then you moved up to Llanuwchllyn, when you were about 10 or 12, was it? I mean, who started inspiring you with regards to activism and question of national identity and independence?
Well, my father and mother were Plaid Cymru members. In fact, my grandfather, my father's father, was one of the founding members of Plaid Cymru. So I grew up naturally not only to think of being a nationalist as a normal thing, but also to support anything Welsh. And so supporting Plaid Cymru was the same as supporting the Welsh rugby team or the Welsh football team, or supporting Wales and the heroes in our family. Not that they talk about them a lot, but the heroes were people like, for instance, the three great men who burnt the bombing school in the Llyn Peninsula, Tân and Llyn. That bombing school had been refused in many places in England because the places they contemplated were important from the natural point of view or from a heritage point of view. But suddenly they plonked it in the middle of the Llyn Peninsula, in a place which is very sacred to us. And we said, no. And they burnt. I mean, it wasn't a huge fire, but the symbolism of that fire, of burning the bombing school in Sleen, is growing all the time, because it was probably the first real
direct action, wasn't it?
The first instance of direct action. Yeah, I mean. And there are other things which have grown. For instance, the couple from Llangenech in Llanelli,
the Beasleys,
Trevor and Eileen Beasley, they for many years refused to pay their tax to the local council until they produced a tax demand in Welsh as well as English, and they lost most of their property because of that. For 7 years, I think they took part in that campaign. Now they were heroes in our home, and in fact they were probably the people mostly responsible for the setting up of Cymdeithas yr Iaith, the Welsh Language Society, in 1962, after Saunders Lewis's BBC lecture. But I was in Aberystwyth University for a year before I went into architecture, and in the 1960-61, there was a feeling growing in Aberystwyth that something needed to be done about the Welsh language, and that Plaid Cymru itself was not going to be enough. So we needed a new movement, a new radical movement. And Cymdeithas yr Iaith came out of that feeling. And I decided very early on to join it. And for 15 years, it ruled my life. And I'm so glad of being part of that huge revolution, which has changed so many things in Wales. When we started in 1962, there was one primary school in Cardiff teaching through the medium of Welsh, and as it happened, my father's sister, Enid, was the headmistress. But it was a fairly small school, Bryntaf. Now there are over 20 primary schools in the Cardiff area teaching through the Welsh language, and I've been to many of them. And there was one in Ely, for instance. And it was so great to see all these children from non-Welsh speaking families being taught through the medium of Welsh, and so proud of their Welshness. And you know, things have changed beyond our wildest dreams. I'm very positive about the future of Wales. It won't be the same as the old Wales. It won't be the same as the traditional Wales, but it'll carry on a lot of the best traditions, but in a new context and in a new way. And we must look out now from Wales to the world as a free nation. That is why I believe in independence.
And, you know, that outward-looking aspect is an important part of your songwriting, really, isn't it? Because you've written a lot about the political situations in other countries. You don't just focus on Wales.
Oh yeah, I mean anybody who takes part in a movement to free a country has to be aware of similar movements all over the world, and not just for independence, but for justice. And I identify myself with, for instance, the fight of the original inhabitants of Australia and New Zealand and North America for their rights, because we took their lands from them and obliterated many of their languages and their traditions and their way of life. And very often their traditions and way of life was superior to ours, you know, I mean, in so many ways. So we've been part of a very dangerous and unhealthy imperialist process of subjugating other nations. So we must see ourselves as a part of righting that wrong and identifying ourselves with people who want to regain their freedom. And people like Victor Jara in Chile, and of course Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and Oscar Romero in, I mean, these these people are heroes of mine because they are in have proven themselves to be fighters for justice and fighters for the rights of their people. And Victor Jara is such an interesting example because he used songs and theatre to teach his people in Chile that they had a tradition, they had a history, that they had songs, and that they shouldn't be submerged and lost in the American culture. And so, yes, no, it's got to be outward looking. We've got to be outward looking. We've got to identify with other people involved in the same struggle. Now, the our enemies, and they are, you know, throughout the world, our enemies want us to all be the same, and they want to obliterate the beautiful diversity of human life, We must fight against that. And thank God, things are beginning to come together in the sense that people now realize that the climate tragedy, the climate change threat, is only a reflection of what is happening in cultural terms and in political terms. We must fight for diversity. We must fight to preserve the variety, the great variety of human life, of natural life, and we must change the way we live our lives.
You know, you've been, well, you're a bit of an action man, David. You know, you don't stop, to be honest, and you've played a role in so many facets of society, really. You know, as a politician in Gwynedd, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a performer, and you've inspired so many people. But you know, you're always taking positive action, and one of the many things that you have done was and maybe, you know, it's overlooked to a certain degree, is, you know, you were tackling the housing crisis 40 years ago when you started up a housing association. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a bit more about that role.
Well, I've never liked the label protest singer or protester. You know, I've never seen myself as a man of protest. I believe that everything I do and everything I say and everything I sing about is in a positive mood. Protesting against injustice is not enough. We must work for justice. We must put in place the better way of doing things, and with housing. I mean, it's a very complicated issue, and in the 70s we began to see that so many houses were being bought up in this area, climbing clubs and schools buying old property as their weekend retreats and second homes. And I mean, there was obviously a threat beginning to materialize, and we realized we had to do something to help local people to have homes in their own area. So we set up a housing association, the first rural based housing association in Britain, in fact, Cymdeithas Tai Gwynedd. And it's still going strong. And we have over 30 houses, and they're being renovated continually, and they are homes for local families. Now, we should have been more radical, and we should have bought more houses when the price was affordable back in the 70s and 80s, before the price explosion. What happened was that the Tories then took over the housing association movement and used it to decant local council houses, and used the momentum of the housing association movement for their own purposes, and to control the housing market in that sense. Well, we didn't want to be part of that, so we've remained independent. But we did set up a sister association Cymdeithas Tair Eryri to take advantage of money available from the government. That by now is part of Group Cynefin, which operates over the whole of North Wales. I believe they've become too large, these new housing associations, but Cymdeithas Tai Gwynedd remains fairly limited in geographical area, but it's at least it's independent. But the idea is that the answer to the housing crisis is not just one silver bullet. It needs to be on several levels. I still believe that Cymdeithas yr Iaith has the ideal answer, but I don't see it happening very soon, which is a property law, a deddf eiddo, which would virtually give local government especially control over the housing market. But short of that, we have to use everything possible to provide affordable homes for local people, homes built restricted to local ownership and shared ownership, give people opportunity to buy over a period of time, to rent to begin with, and to change to I mean, and then we must help to remove the stigma regarding rented property. You know, I mean, what's wrong with renting? As long as you can control the rents. Now, at the moment, what is wrong is that rents can go up and up and up, especially in the private sector, and public money is then pumped into to help the landlords. So, you know, I so many answers need to be put into action with the housing crisis. But I think the basis of it is that houses should be homes, not seen as
commodities.
Commodities. Mm. So, I mean, that's the basic of it. I mean, if we start thinking of houses as homes rather than in investment properties, then we could go somewhere.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, we're always looking to England to see what they're doing, and we should be looking further afield to Europe, who do have fair rents, you know, where renting isn't stigmatised, where people live in the houses maybe for some generations, you know, and it seems to be a far fairer society, you know, in many countries.
And what we must realise as well is that in England, for instance, there are many, many associations, not housing associations as such, but a lot of associations actually using old properties to make them up as homes. For instance, there's one excellent one using old chapels and churches to provide new homes for people and affordable homes. Many good schemes in action, and we should do much more of that, because it's not we're not short of buildings. You know, our problem is that we're not using our buildings and homes and houses in the right way. And the Airbnb and so on is compounding this problem. And tourism is another thing which Wales must come into grapple with, because we're seeing so many places in the world today, take Venice, for instance, where they really see tourism as the great enemy now, because local people are being pushed out of the housing market completely in a place like Venice. And I've had first-hand experience of antagonism to tourism in a place like Venice. Now, we must depend on tourism to some extent in Wales. We can't avoid that, but we must make sure that the benefits of tourism are used to help the local economy and local families to make a living in Wales. It's a two-edged sword, but we must realize the great potential of things like tourism without selling ourselves completely to that industry. And we must have a diverse economy, controlled as much as possible by the people living here in Wales.
Yeah, we have to make sure that the tourism does benefit the community infrastructure. And, you know, as you said, in Venice, the population has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And we see the same happening in our, you know, tourist hotspots, where there aren't any staff there because people... you know, the younger population has diminished or can't afford to live there. So they're running out of labour, you know. So it's a very fine balance, and we have to find the right balance so it serves our communities and the future of our communities.
Yeah. That balance is so important, because we've got to develop an economy which keeps people here, provides work for them. But as you say, at the moment, we are seeing pubs and hotels closing. Are closing for part of the week because they cannot find enough staff to run. And it doesn't make much sense, except, as you say, that we are short of people in our communities.
So you've got a book planned then, I hear.
Yeah, I've been persuaded to write a book in English to explain a bit about myself and about Mar Hyd and my football experience and so on. I think it's been quite an interesting experience, because all my other books have been in Welsh, but this time I have to think of people who are not perhaps aware of some of the things we take for granted. So it's a good opportunity to try and explain a bit more about the way we think. You know, I mean, a person like myself, who's dedicated most of my life to the Welsh language and Welsh language campaigns, can be misunderstood. Some people come up to me when they meet me for the first time and said, "Are you prepared to speak to me in English?" You know. And I understand why they've been conditioned to think of me as this chap who does nothing but speak Welsh, sing Welsh all the time. And he hates anybody who doesn't speak Welsh. Well, that's not true. I mean, you can't live like that anyway. But I think this is a chance to explain why, where Mar Hyd came from, for instance, where my songs come from, what I think of Wales and the world as a nationalist, and why I think that there are two types of nationalism, and one of them is bad and one of them is good, and the bad one is the nation comes from the nation who thinks that they have a right to lord over other nations. Well, that is not my nationalism. My nationalism is wanting to see Wales a part of the world community of nations, and I am so ambitious for my nation to be a part of that community of nations, because we are suffering from being so near to what was the centre of the British Empire, and I think England itself is beginning to see that they have to readjust their way of looking at the world, and hopefully their way of looking at us.
I was just thinking, David, you know, you're an example of a doer, you know, and I think we should all be doing stuff to promote independence, to talk to people about independence, you know. If I'm in a market now and I've got some leaflets and I'm speaking to many of them who are incomers, and you have a conversation about independence, and the majority of people are open to the conversation, open to talk about it, and they want change and are pro-independence. So we shouldn't be afraid of striking up the conversation and getting the message out there, because, you know, things are changing in Wales.
Yeah, that is true. Unfortunately, the major major broadcasters, they don't engage in this kind of conversation often enough, and we have to. People are aware that things must change, as far as climate is concerned, as far as Wales is concerned. We have to change a lot of things, and change won't come and unless we talk about it, discuss about it, and work for it. And as you say, I'm a positive person, but we have to do more than talk. We have to do more than singing. We have to apply our ideas in a practical way, in business and in social intercourse and in our culture, in our religion, I believe. We must find new ways of explaining and showing to people what we mean by an independent Wales and the benefits of an independent Wales for anybody living in Wales. And indeed, the benefits to the world of having an independent Wales, because I do believe we have something to contribute rather than being attached to the coattails of England all the time.
Well, David, I came across a really interesting article, and I'll put the link on the YouTube introduction to you by Ewan James about your songs and giving a kind of a rundown of the songs and I saw a really interesting article. It's on the University of Cardiff website, and it's a profile by Ewan James of your songs and the thinking behind them and the campaigning you've done over the years. And I'll put the link on the YouTube channel so people can have a read of it. It's really worthwhile, and it kind of praises the singing and the words. And they're in English, so people can understand some of the words of your songs as well. It's worth the read.
I think I read it many years ago. Wyn James has done a lot of work on my songs, and I was so flattered, in fact, when I saw it first of all. But it's interesting for us what people make of one's songs, and I suppose there's more to them than I realize sometimes, because songs do, what I do is express things I feel, not in a very poetic way or in a very elaborate way, but taken together, and they're a body of songs explaining what it is to be a Welsh nationalist in this time of great change. And a lot of people have been in touch with me because of the Mawhid experience, I do have a set of translations of my songs which I've sent to many people, because it's always interesting to see what people have got. And as far as I'm concerned, the words are the most important part of my songs. And I think now we have an opportunity to explain to many people in Wales what Welsh culture and Welsh songs and Welsh poetry is about. As far as English culture is concerned, even one of my favourite programmes is The Chase on... on ITV, and some of the program. Well, if there's a question about Welsh poetry, the answer is always Dylan Thomas, my claim to fame is that there was a question on Sun Chase: what political party does David Iwan belong to? And they didn't know the answer, but it's surprising that a program like that, which has people with it's broad general knowledge, but all they know about Scotland poetry is Robert Burns, and about Welsh poetry is Dylan Thomas. Well, we've got a chance now to explain to them and to the world that there's more to Welsh poetry than Dylan Thomas, and there's more to Scottish poetry than Robert Burns. But it's seriously, we have a lot to contribute, and we have a lot to give to the world. And that's why I'm a nationalist. That's why I'm a supporter of Yes Cymru, because now's the time to get out of the closet.
Well, diolch yn fawr, David. And I think you've really made it now that you've been a question on The Chase, you know? I mean, else.
My main achievement, yes.
Yeah, diolch yn fawr I chi, David. Thank you very much. And let's hope the book will be out soon.
Diolch yn fawr. It'll be out by November.
Okay, so it'll be a great Christmas present then.
Great, excellent.
Diolch.
Yes, Cymru Radio.